Today is March 22nd, 2014, and I'm talking with Bill Belinsky from The Electras. Bill, what is your full name, your date of birth, and hometown, please?
Okay, it's full name is William John Belinsky. I was born December 26, 1946, in Chicago.
And when did you move to Minnesota?
Well, my dad bought a resort in the mid-50s, but we only would come up for the summers until 1960. Then we moved up permanently, and I started high school in Ely. I had already been playing the guitar 3 years. I started playing the guitar in 1957, and I was begging for one about 1956, 55. So before we even moved up there, I had already been playing quite a while.
Where was the resort?
Up in about 23 miles north of Ely, northeast of Ely, called Snowbank Lodge.
What lake was that on?
Snowbank Lake.
Oh, okay. So do you recall the very first guitar you purchased?
The very first guitar? I was begging my dad for a guitar probably in the mid-50s, and we were going through Wisconsin, and we stopped at a theater and saw Blackboard Jungle, and it featured that song Rock Around the Clock, and I almost went crazy, and I was begging for a guitar. And the first one he came in the house, he came in with a Silvertone. It was a horrible thing. It had the strings were off the fretboard about I don't know, probably 3/8 of an inch, and I had still have small hands, and you can imagine how small they were at 10 years old, but that was the first guitar, and then they didn't think I would stick with it. After about a year of torture with that thing, they bought me a 3/4 size Gibson Electric, and boy, that thing was... That was the Cadillac there. It had a small neck, and the strings were set at the right level and all that. And
where'd they have to go to purchase that?
Actually, that guitar just kind of showed up in the house. I took lessons for a little while by a guy who was a bebop guitarist by the name of Dale Nelson from Lyon and Healy, and my brother and I both took lessons for a little while, and he convinced my folks that Silvertone was horrible, and he showed up. He came to the house with it, and I think it was $100 or something, which would be like $500 now, $600 now. But I guess they weren't convinced that I was going to stick with it.
Now, your brother was who?
Earl.
And was he older or younger?
A year and a half younger.
Also a guitar player?
Yeah. He was actually really talented, didn't have to practice any of the first 8 or 9 lessons, and then it got to the point where the lessons got a little bit tricky. He wasn't practicing much, and then I kind of overtook him, I was the guy that was practicing a couple of hours a day. You know, every spare minute I had, I was playing the guitar. But Earl was a natural and still is.
What was he playing on?
We were both sharing that same guitar.
Oh, you shared a guitar?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, we didn't pick up our Fender guitars until 1961, and Earl picked up a Strat, and I picked up a Jazzmaster.
Where did you find those at?
We got at B-Sharp Music in Minneapolis. We had already moved up to Ely.
You mean permanently moved there from Chicago?
Yeah. He had a Strat, and I had a Jazzmaster, and we were playing Venture songs. We would play at the resort during the summer, the two of us, kind of like Bob Bogle and Don Wilson were just a duo at first, and they were, I guess the world was so excited about rock and roll, it didn't even matter if he had a bass player or a drummer.
What kind of music did you get on the radio stations in Ely in 1960?
WEBC out of Duluth was the one we got most of the time. That they had the top 40, but every now and then if the stars and the atmosphere was aligned just correctly, we would pick up KAY out of Little Rock, Arkansas. And that was a real treat because we would hear that R&B stuff coming in. And I remember hearing Wilson Pickett and guys like that, guys that never made it up to Minnesota. Their records didn't sell. And so I became aware that there was another blues and R&B form of music. Whenever that clear, it was a powerful station, but it would only come in at certain times of the night because coming all the way up from Little Rock, Arkansas. You remember that station?
I've heard of it, yes. So yeah. You and Earl are playing instrumentals at the family resort.
Yep.
What kind of amps are you using?
At first, we had pretty cheesy amps. I had this old Gibson with an 8-inch speaker, and it was like a 5 watts. We fixed that up pretty quickly. We picked up a Fender Concert, and that had 4 inputs, and Earl would go through one channel, and I would go through another. That had 4 10-inch speakers, and that was a beautiful amplifier. In fact, I have a Concert right now from that same period, 1960 Brown Tolex Concert. Great amplifier. So we were sharing that amplifier because we didn't have to be very loud. And then eventually when the band took off, we would each have our own showman because we had to play at in the bigger arenas. But I noticed right away that the showman was too clean for the dirtier, grittier stuff. So I used to run a Concert or a Super Reverb with my showman, and at times I would just run the Concert wide open and to get a dirtier sound because the showman was very, very clean. It was good for instrumentals, but not good if you wanted to get that gritty sound.
Okay, so at some point here, I assume you started adding some members to your duo?
Yeah, when I started high school, I put an ad in the school paper. The ad said, Bill Belinsky wants all bass players to call him. He wants to start a band, something like that. And I got a call from Gary Amirza. Said, well, geez, I don't have a bass, but I play accordion. So I was pretty disappointed because I wasn't too keen on the accordion, but I knew that one of his hands played the accordion, of course. The bass buttons. He said, why don't you come on over and see what we can do. So I used to go over to his grandmother's house. It was next to the root beer stand there in Ely in about 1961. I'd walk over there with my little amp and my guitar. And he would play songs like the Peppermint Twist on the squeeze box and polkas and waltzes. And we started picking up bar gigs. We were way too young, but there was such a demand for music, we started picking up gigs. One of them was called John's Bar, and it was just Amirza and me and my brother.
Now, still instrumentals?
Yes, exactly. Everything was instrumental. He didn't sing, I didn't sing, Earl didn't sing, and I talked him into buying a bass after about 6 months or a year. I said, gee, this accordion business isn't really, and he was a little put out because he really loved the accordion, but he thought about it for a while, and he called me up one time, and he said, why don't you come on over, I got to show you something, and I came over, and he had this red Gibson bass on his bed. It was just so proud of it, you know, and he was practicing it a couple of hours a day, and once he started, he took to that bass like a fish took to water. He just was practicing every day and was already had a lot of musical theory because of the squeeze box. He already knew a lot about music, and we would sit there and figure out bass parts together, you know, if he couldn't get something, and pretty soon now we had an electric bass. And we needed a drummer.
Do you know where he got the bass from?
I think he got that in Duluth at one of the music stores in Duluth. He was actually teaching the accordion. I think he was teaching accordion and had students there. by that time, he was that advanced, an accordion player.
Gary, and you are the same year in school?
Yes.
So it's your first year in high school?
Probably by then, by the time he picked up the bass, we were looking at the sophomore year. Probably we're looking more like
62?
Late 61 and early 62. We needed a singer. We got a drummer. His name was Lenny Erickson. He was from Buell. His dad worked at the mines, and he played drums for us. And then we picked up a girl singer. Her name was Kay. And we started doing Brenda Lee songs and Bobby's Girl and songs like that came out in the early 60s. But mostly still instrumentals. And she didn't last very long. She lasted 3 or 4 gigs, and we were back to instrumentals again. And then my cousin Bob moved up from Chicago, and he was the spitting image, audio image of Elvis Presley. I mean, he could imitate Elvis. It was unbelievable.
What's Bob's last name?
Parazin. And he called himself Bobby Paragon. You know, we were hamming it up a little bit, and we thought Paragon sounded more like, kind of flashier.
Did the band have a name at this point?
Yes. We called ourselves the Electras on our very first gig, which would have been Halloween of 1962 on a weekend there. And
where was it?
That right in Ely at the I think it was the elementary school cafeteria, but it was for junior high kids, and that was with Kay and Lenny and Earl and me and Gary Mirza. We were a 5-piece, and we had this tiny little rinky-dink PA system, and we thought we were hitting the big time. A lot of ventures. Link Ray, I was crazy about Link Ray, a couple Fireball songs, and we were nuts about instrumentals. That was the zeitgeist. That was the big sound. I think it was a tremendously fresh sound back in the early 60s.
Did you actually get paid for this job?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Do you remember how much?
I think we got paid 50, 20 bucks a piece, and we had red vests and white shirts and black pants. We dressed alike, and, we thought we were pretty hot stuff,
Who thought of the name The Electras?
We were... I'll never forget this. I was on the stairway next to my Latin class, and we were trying to come up with a name for the band. Gary wanted to call it Kay and the Cavaliers, and I thought, oh, no, that's not good. What if Kay quits? Then what? Then, although the Cavaliers isn't too bad. And then somebody piped up the Electra. He says, my uncle has a Buick. It's an Electra. How about the Electras? And I said, yes, that's it. And there was no band around with that name. And then, of course, there's also Electra the Goddess, which I knew about from my mythology, and the Electra Complex. And that was, I think, a pretty cool name, actually,
So how did your first job go?
It was pretty rough. We had some problems with the PA, and a little bit ragged. Band wasn't very tight, and that didn't discourage us, though.
Where did the band practice?
We used to practice. We'd practice in my parents' basement, and we practiced at Lenny Erickson's. The drummer had a garage, and we practiced out in that garage a lot. That was only good in the summer, though, the summer of 62. And we could get together in the basement of our house up on Chapman Street in Ely there, and we'd practice there. But, of course, it made a lot of racket. And so that rehearsal space, that's another school of problems. But we were fortunate to have that garage.
And what did your parents think about you and Earl playing in a rock and roll band?
Well, they did not like the band. They didn't like the guitar too much. The first argument against the guitar was that he'll never stick with it, talking about me. And then they were kind of disappointed and bummed out when I actually did stick with it. But when we started bringing money into the house and we had our own cash flow and everything and we're keeping out of trouble, neither Earl nor I drank at that time, and Earl would later start drinking when later on in life, but I avoided alcohol, and it kept us out of trouble, actually, and made us money. But he didn't like it. He had a resort. It interfered with the resort, and, you know, it was a struggle. That part of it was a big struggle, yeah.
So Kay left, and Bob becomes the lead singer?
Yeah, yeah. Bob came, and we started doing songs like Sugar Shack by the Fireballs, and we still did some instrumentals.
And Elvis songs as well?
Yes. My Baby Left Me, and Little Sister, and songs like that. And the songs that were, we didn't do too many from the 50s because they were already getting old, and you had to stay current in those days. So we did the newer stuff, Lucky Charm, and the stuff that wasn't as good but was on the top 40. We had some really cool stuff, some cool songs, and he was very, very good vocalist. And so now we had three guitars because he also played guitar. And we did, I remember we did Baja by the Astronauts. My cousin didn't like surf music too much, but I was crazy about it. So, you know, he didn't say much, but he liked more of the Gibson sound and the edgier. He liked, how can I put it? He was pretty advanced for the time in a way. He liked to get that more of a R&B sound with the guitar, and Fenders were a little twangy, you know.
So he played a Gibson.
Yeah, he had a Gibson, and he kept talking to me. I had a Fender Jazzmaster, then a Fender Jaguar, which was not a real good guitar, and he thought they were thin sounding. And pretty soon, I was playing a Gibson SG. But I never gave up on Fenders. I always had a Fender around. I liked my cousin and I admired him, but I didn't believe him entirely.
So what other places did this version of the Electras play?
A lot of armories, like that Battle of the Bands in Hibbing in 63. We came in first out of a couple Duluth bands, and Sugar and the Crystals, I think they were from Duluth. And
Sugar
we
and the Crystals were a band?
What's that?
Sugar and the Crystals were one of the bands?
Yeah. And you know, the bands from the range, there were seven of them, including the Electras. We came in first, that led to a lot of gigs.
So what other cities had armories up in the range area?
Eveleth and Virginia. And we did teen centers. Babbitt had a teen center. Ely had the community center. Duluth had a huge armory. I don't think we played that one with my cousin, though, because we didn't have any records out yet.
Okay.
And he wrote part of Memories with me, and which was our first... About My Love and Memories were the first two things I ever recorded, and my cousin Bob kind of helped me with that Memories song. It was kind of cheesy and schmaltzy, but, you know, I knew it wasn't original. I knew that was important.
What year did you write those songs?
That would have been like 63, 64, you know. I didn't have the writing skills down yet. That would come later in my life where I've written hundreds and hundreds of songs, but that really, I didn't to get proficient with the writing until the 80s and 90s. For some reason, I don't know why that was, but I would get some songs would come to me. But
so you and your cousin Bob wrote Memories?
Yeah.
And then you wrote another song?
Yeah, he had a couple of others that he wrote, but we didn't play because kids never heard of them.
Okay.
And we knew we had to play the stuff that was current and popular, but I knew that was a gift, and I knew that was important. But we were doing songs like Sugar Shack and the stuff that was out in 63, the stuff that was in the top 40, moving away from the instrumentals because we had such a... Rael Donner, You Don't Know What You Got Until You Lose It, and songs like that, because Rael Donner sounded a lot like Elvis. It was old school. It was the old school sound.
Was the band wearing matching outfits on
stage?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we had blue blazers and black pants, and then my mother made them, and she made a gold jacket, gold blazer from my cousin. You know, and we thought that was just the cat's behind, I'll tell you. In those days, you absolutely had to have matching outfits in those days.
Did you do high school dances?
Yes.
All across the Iron Range?
Yeah. We did a lot of work in Ely and close by so that the driving wasn't so much. And a lot of practicing. If we didn't have a gig, we would practice. My cousin just, you know, he liked the guitar and he liked rock and roll, and he taught me a lot. He taught me how to listen to a song, how to listen to all the parts of a song, and how all the parts fit together.
So you decide that you wanted to record two original songs.
Yes, but this was after Tim got into the band.
So how often was the band playing?
There was a lot of work in those days. There was the community center in Ely and the Babbitt Teen Center. There was a teen center in Two Harbors. There were gigs in Virginia and armories and Miners Memorial. And we were up against some stiff competition. The Titans were around from Duluth in those days. You know, it wasn't that easy to break into it, even though, because they had records out. So they got the really, really bigger gigs, actually. You know, we got the Teen Center and the Friday, Saturday night kind of thing with some armory. A lot of times there'd be a doubleheader with two bands. That was kind of big in those days.
So what was the next change in the lineup, and when did it happen?
My cousin left to go to school. He wasn't that crazy about Minnesota, about Ely and the Range, and he came back in early 64. So now I've got my cousin back again, and then we picked up a female singer who was with a band called the Bobcats. That was the first rock and roll band in Ely. I've got Linda Anderson. Her name was Linda Anderson. And so now I've got a six-piece band with my cousin and Linda doing two-part harmonies like on The Mountains High, Dick and Dee Dee, and Hey Paula, and songs like that. And that was pretty awesome. That's actually the band that won the Battle of the Bands, probably late 63, early 64, with the six-piece band.
Okay, any other changes in the lineup?
Well, no. That was still Earl and me and Gary and Lenny Erickson on drums. And then Cuz quit again in 64. He wanted to go to college and become a physicist. And Linda went to a Virginia band called the Vaqueros. So I was left with no singer. Summer of 64 started. A guy by the name of Ed Stoklasa called me. He had this band. He was picking up the pieces of a band called the Bobcats because the lead guitar player quit to go to school. And he asked me if I would join the Bobcats, and I did. And we played St. Cloud in different places. And then the bass player, who had been with the Bobcats for years, he quit because he said I was too wild. I was playing my Gibson 345 in those days, and I was into the Rolling Stones and bands like that, and Chuck Berry. He did not like that, and so we got Gary into the band. So now we've got me and Gary and Ed, and he had this drummer by the name of Jerry Fink on drums. So we've got two guys from the Electras and Ed and Jerry, and we played out the whole summer that way. And then Ed
quit. As the Bobcats.
As the Bobcats, exactly. Ed had to go to St. Cloud to go to college, and so I got Earl in the band to play rhythm, and Jerry was already there on the drums, and he was way better than Lenny, so now we've got this very powerful four-piece band, Jerry Fink and me and Gary and Earl. So we're back to a four-piece band with Jerry on drums instead of Lenny. From all this playing now, we had been doing that, especially that summer of 64, we were tight. And Earl was really wanted to be back in the band, wanted to be part of it. So we started doing British Invasion stuff in the fall of 64. Them was one of my favorite bands. Rolling Stones, Chuck Berry, songs like that, artists like that. But I knew that my voice didn't make it. I knew that I wasn't cutting it, and I wanted to record, and I knew my voice wouldn't record very well, and I started agitating to get a singer and get Tim in the band. I guess we talked about that a couple nights ago.